blessing it's been. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I want to preach tonight on the inheritance of the saints. The inheritance of the saints. Romans 8, beginning at verse 14. Verse 14, let me begin now reading with chapter 8, verse number 14 of the book of Romans. What a great day we've had today, and I thank the Lord for it. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Let's pray. Our Father, thank You tonight for the music that's blessed our hearts. Now bless, we pray, the preaching of the Word of God. We thank You for the reading of it. We ask You this evening, Lord, to encourage and challenge us and bless us. And thank You for the privilege, Lord, of being here tonight again for another service around Your precious Word. Bless now tonight, and we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this portion of God's Word talks about the inheritance of the saints. These verses talk about being an heir, heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of a passage of Scripture that says this, Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritances," or the inheritance of the saints in light. Note, the inheritance of the saints. That's what I want to preach on tonight. The inheritance of the saints. The people of God are heirs. We have inherited some things that you and I can't fully appreciate this side of glory. We don't realize tonight all that's involved in being an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We look at this passage of Scripture. We understand tonight is talking about the saints. The saints made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints he's talking about. Now, to get us started this evening, let me mention this about the saints. Notice the leadership of the saints. Notice the sonship of the saints. And then notice the heirship of the saints. First of all, the saints' leadership. Verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." There's the leadership. The saints of God have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God, so we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're no longer our own. We have that inward still voice of God that directs us along our way. Also within us, the Holy Spirit says, "Abba, Father." We cry out in faith. We recognize who we belong to. What a blessing to have the leadership of the Spirit. The saints have leadership. The saints have sonship. The Bible says they are the sons of God, verse number 14. Then the saints have heirship, verse number 17. If children, then heirs. Heirs. To be an heir means you enjoy an inheritance. I want to develop that thought tonight, as we think of the inheritance of the saints. First of all, let me mention this to you. We see the basis of the inheritance. The basis of the inheritance. The verse says, verse 17, "If children, then heirs." Now, there's the basis of the inheritance. If children, then heirs. You have to be a child before you can be an heir. You have to be a child of God before you're going to receive this inheritance that the Bible here is talking about. So the basis is being a child. A child. Again, verse 17. If children, then heirs. Every Christian tonight in this building rightly wears the title child of God. Every one of you that are saved are a child of God. That's the basis of the heirship. Now, let me qualify that statement. Let me break it down a little bit. A person is not an heir because of physical birth. You're not an heir because of physical birth. This is one big human family. The earth's family, talking about physical family, is one big family, but not everyone is in the same spiritual family. The Bible says, if children, then heirs. That means that being simply born physically does not make one an heir. You have to be a child. If children, then heir. I keep coming back to that. If children, then heir. We're not an heir of God by physical lineage. You remember this when Jesus lived on this earth. You know that there were people that came to him and bragged about the fact. They said, we be of Abraham. Jesus straightened them out in hurry. He let them know if they were children of Abraham, they'd be doing the works of Abraham. So, you see, it's one thing to have lineage that may be noble. Everybody these days, it seems like, is wanting to find out what their DNA, what it leads them to. You know, you hear that all the time, commercials on TV. Everybody's wanting to know, you know, what their lineage is. You know, what their background is. You heard that old poem years ago preachers used to use, didn't you? About the old tadpole. Once it was a tadpole long and slim. Then it was a frog with my tail tucked in. Now I'm a monkey swinging from a tree. And guess what? Now I am a doctor with a PhD. That's coming a long way, isn't it? We're not an heir of God by physical lineage. Not by physical lineage. Some think because their parents are godly, that makes them an heir. That makes them saved. No, we're not saved because we're born into a Christian family. We're not an heir, we're not saved because we attend a Christian school. Because we attend a Christian school. If children, then heirs. It doesn't say if religious, then heir. If born properly, then an heir. No, if children, then heir. That's talking about being a child of God. Today, we can be thankful that we live in an area where there is so much gospel preaching. This area has all kinds of churches that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. But the only negative spin-off of that is the fact that many people take that for granted. They've grown up hearing it. So therefore, their ears have grown dull. And we need to understand, though, that where there is much given, much will be required. I've said it before. It's bad if a person dies and goes to hell from a remote place on this earth where there's no gospel being preached. But I think it's even worse to die and go to hell from a place where there's gospel churches spread around everywhere. Because we're held more accountable. In fact, I'm thinking of what the Bible says. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Jesus is saying to the people there that heard him preach, that was exposed to the truth, he is saying that the accountability won't be as great from the sinners that come from Sodom and Gomorrah as people that come from Capernaum or places where the gospel has permeated the area. And I say tonight, woe to people that live in Guilford County, that live in Forsyth County, that die and go to hell because your accountability will be much greater because you've been exposed more to the truth of the gospel. If children, then heirs. One is not an heir because of physical lineage. One is not an heir because of church work. It doesn't say if a church worker, then an heir. It doesn't say that. It does not say if workers, then heir. A person is not an heir because they're a worker. Some people are busy in church, but their busyness is not connected to the right reason. It's important to work from something instead of to try to work up to something. See, there are people that have the wrong idea that if I get busy and do more, then I will merit God's favor, and perhaps that will gain me an entrance into heaven. That's far from truth. We do not work our way to the cross. We work our way from the cross. It does not say if workers, then heir. It says if children, then heirs. Now, I believe in working. I honestly believe that Christians ought to be working. We ought to get busy. The more we put into something, the more we appreciate it. That applies to many areas of life. In our church, the more we invest into the church, the more we involve ourselves in it, we will appreciate it more. But you see, the matter of working needs to flow from the right reason. We do not work our way to become saved. We work our way because we are saved and we love the Lord and we want to serve Him. One is not an heir because they're a worker, though. One is not an heir because they're born in a Christian family or attend a Christian school. One is not an heir because of ceremonial observances. Ask some people, are you saved? They will say to you, yes. You ask them, well, how do you know? Some of them say, because I got baptized. Some of them say, because I got sprinkled. Some of them say, because I joined a church. Again, wrong answer. If children, then heirs. If children, then heirs. The matter of being an heir depends on being a child. And that means regeneration. Regeneration, or the new birth, is required to become a child. That's the basis. The basis for the inheritance is to become a child. And the only way to become a child of God is to be born again or regenerated according to the Scriptures. What about the marks of regeneration? You know, there are some distinguishable marks that prove regeneration. Could I give you three of them real quick? Number one, there's the witness of the Holy Spirit. A person who's regenerated has the witness of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4, 6, and 7, the Bible says, "And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father," or crying, "Father, Father." Word Abba means Father. Father, Father. "Therefore thou art no more a servant but a son, if a son then an heir of God through Christ." Verse 16 of the text. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." There is the witness of the Holy Spirit to those who are regenerated. Now let me slow down a little bit and address that. There are people who are confused, however, when it comes to the matter of how the Holy Spirit witnesses. Some interpret it wrong. Some say the Holy Spirit may speak with an audible voice. The Holy Spirit may come upon a person to where there's some kind of an emotional upheaval expressed by speaking in tongues or other things or certain gifts or abilities, gifts of the Spirit and so forth. This is not the night to cover that particular area. But we understand that those gifts were transitional gifts. You find them growing silent after you get through the book of Acts. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. The Spirit of God now will only speak in and through the Word. He will not speak extra-biblically. He will speak to us through the Word, through a promise, through a guidance. But you see, a child of God is led by the Holy Spirit within our heart of hearts. We find ourselves saying, Abba, Father. We know that we belong to God. You cannot unconvince a child of God. I realize we have doubting times and we sometimes may lose a sense of our security. But I'll tell you, if we get serious about the Bible, that doubt flees. Because we see it written in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. That still, small, precious voice lets us know whose we are. Abba, Father. Christians have the witness of the Spirit. Secondly, the Christian has a likeness to the Father. a likeness to the Father. We resemble our Father. Follow that now with me on an earthly, physical level. Children resemble their parents. Siblings resemble one another. We resemble our parents. You know that's true. We all have expressions, facial appearance, bodily appearance, that is a copy from our parents. Same long noses, same pug noses, same long ears. I mean, I realize this is a little humorous, but you know what I'm talking about tonight. A child resembles their parent. And I'm here to say tonight that a child of God resembles their father. We can carry that over into the spiritual realm. We resemble our father. We find ourselves acting like him. And I'm not saying tonight we're little gods running around. No, you know what I'm talking about. There's a desire to be holy. A desire to be separated. We have a different look about us. There's a countenance change when we come to Christ. We find ourselves acting different and looking different and desiring different things. It's just the way it is. We resemble our Father. They took knowledge of those early Christians that had been with Jesus. You remember that? They were called Christians first at Antioch, Christ-like. There's a strange problem with someone who tells you they're a Christian, but still lives, looks, and acts like the world, where there's no visible change, where there's no interest towards spiritual things. There's something wrong with that. How can we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, who speaks through us, Abba Father, without also having that same Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us into the ways of God? Changes occur in people's lives. Sometimes I get a little bit tired of hearing about fads of the times. And we label every culture. We call them millennials. We call them the baby boomers. We call them the X generation. And we label them. And we talk about characteristics of all generations. And I understand that there's a certain amount of reason to that, because every generation does take on certain characteristics of that given generation. But sometimes it's carried too far. Here's what I'm saying tonight. If you run into a child of God that lived during the roaring 20s, or go back to the time of the old Wild West, where people lived with a gun on their hip, wouldn't you like that, Steve? Just sleep with a gun. The old Wild West. If you'd go up and examine anybody from any given generation and ask them how they got saved, if they were saved, they'd tell you, they'd give you the same answer that we give right now in 2018. If you were to ask them back then, what did anything take place in your life, they'd say yes. In other words, a Christian is still a Christian in every generation. We still have the same marks. We still resemble the same Father. In other words, it's not driven away by the generational mores. It's still the same. For those that are children, who are also heirs, there is the witness of the Spirit that says, you're a child. There is the likeness to the Father that says, you're a child. And then there's a belief, a continual belief in Jesus Christ that says, you're a child. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, but it doesn't stop there. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. A Christian doesn't quit believing when they get saved. They keep on believing. Our faith is increased. The longer we're in the Bible, the more our faith is even increased, because faith does cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So a Christian is marked by the fact they are men and women, boys and girls, who believe, who continue to believe, whose faith becomes increased over time. Those are marks. Those would represent what it means to be regenerated, to have the new birth experience, to be regenerated. Secondly, tonight, we see not only the basis of our inheritance, if children, then heirs. Children, that's the key word. We notice, secondly, the breadth of our inheritance. The breadth. Not breath, breadth. Here's my point. All of God's children are going to receive the inheritance regardless of differences. The breadth of it. It includes all of God's children. Every child of God, the Bible promises them they're going to be an heir. If children, then heirs. It doesn't say if a strong child, if a mature child, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then heirs. It says if children, then heirs. It says all of them, not some of them. Every Christian is an heir. Here's an interesting illustration. You know, the order or time of birth does not make any difference as far as determining one person being an heir more than another if you're saved. In the Hebrew family, the firstborn had priority, but not in God's family. No Christian outranks the other. None of them outrank the other. Every Christian is just as much saved as the next one. Just as much an heir as the next one. Every child of God, thank the Lord, have the same eating privileges. Every Christian's going to heaven. I don't want to startle you with what I'm about to say, but there are some people that are going to heaven that don't even know it, don't even think it. Because they've been mixed up with some kind of religion that tells them once they're saved, if they don't persevere to the end, or if they don't do good works, that they're not going to make it to heaven. And so they're constantly striving and working and attempting to please God by virtue of what they're doing. And sometimes when sin comes into their life, which it does anyway, we're all sinners. And then they fall flat on their faces. They're saying, boy, I blew it this time. If I die right now, I'd go to hell. Because they're basing it all on works. The same grace of God that saves is the same grace of God that keeps. If you can't earn salvation, and you can't because it takes grace, then you can't lose it either because grace is still going to kick in. But what I'm saying tonight, the order of the Christian, if we could rank them all together, we could say, just like grading potatoes. You look at the potatoes, boy, here's a big one, this must be an Idaho potato. Here's a little snubby one. And like some people that grade vegetables, you know, good, bad, undesirable, whatever. But when it comes to being saved, all of God's people are still going to get to heaven. Coming back to what I said, every person that places their trust in Christ, that is born again according to the Bible, will go to heaven, whether they like it or not. I know they're going to like it, but some of them are confused. It's been said there's going to be two types of surprised people when they die. There's going to be the person that goes to heaven, going to be surprised they got there. Because they lived all their lives thinking they had to struggle and work and all that. But be sure of something now. When you're saved, you're going to want to work because it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Then there's going to be some that going to think that thought they're going to make it to heaven, but they're not. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So they strived and they worked. They joined the church. They got christened. They went through the motions. Instead of being justified by faith, And that's the only way to get saved. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to being an heir and going to heaven, every child of God is going to make it. Because eternal life means eternal life. That's what my Bible teaches. I don't know what yours teach. If yours teach anything different, I'd get the right one. Eternal means forever. I give unto them eternal life. Now, how can you shorten that word? It means what it says. So tonight, I'm saying the breadth of the inheritance, all of the children, regardless of difference. Do you know that God's people are favored people? We're favored. We're favored with the same love from God. Same love. Our name as a Christian is written on the heart of Christ as well as any of the apostles. I think of that Old Testament analogy, how the high priest had the names of the apostles written on his breastplate. Well, let me say tonight, God has the names of his people written on his heart. All of his heirs are loved equally. There's nothing that his people can do to run from his love, to escape his love. There's nothing that we can do to ever cause him to love us less. He loves us all equally the same. You know, I'm thinking of the sheep and the shepherd analogy. You know, the sheep, the shepherd may leave the sheep and let them walk, but he'll always carry the lambs. He'll take special care of the weak and the feeble. My point tonight is God's people are favored by his love. He loves you and me. He loves us more than we could ever begin to imagine. That's just like God to love us, and he does. We're all favored with the same love. We're all favored with the same promise. The same promise. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hope upon the hope set before us. We're favored with the same promise. God promises every child the same security and the same eternity. We're all favored by the same relationship to Christ. The same relationship to Christ. No one is partly in Christ and partly out of Christ. Everyone who is saved is in Christ. We're all favored with the same inheritance regardless of the degree of our spiritual growth. We still are secure in Jesus Christ. If children, then heirs. We see the basis of our inheritance, children. We see the breadth of our inheritance, children, meaning all of God's children. Then we see the bestowments of our inheritance. You say, preacher, what do we get? What are the divine bestowments? What is it that we receive? I'm glad you asked me. I'd like to tell you. But the best way I can tell you is give you some good verses. Revelation 21:7. Note this. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Here's another great one. 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23. Therefore let no man glory in man. For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death. All things present or things to come. All are yours. And ye are Christ's. And Christ is God's. Here's another good one. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Here's another good one. Hebrews 6:17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. Here's another good one. Titus 3:7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here's another good one. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? James 2:5. Here's another good one. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. I'm struck by those words, heir of God. Heirs of God. Now ponder that a minute. Wrap your brain around that for just a moment. Heirs of God. You know what I love about the precious Word of God? You read it and read it and read it and you still keep seeing new things. It's always fresh. Heirs of God. You know, in our weakness, in our immaturity, in our flip-flopping around sometimes spiritually, when we think of heirs, inheritances, we think materially. We think mansion in heaven. We think streets of gold. We think crowns. What does it say, though? Heirs of God. Heirs of God. In other words, God's people are heirs of all that God has. Heirs of God. Did you see that? Heirs of all that God has. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. How can I be an heir of all that God has? You got time for me to tell you? It's like a child who inherits property, let's say owned by their father. Now, what the Bible is saying here is God is a portion of my inheritance. Are you ready for this statement? He belongs to us. Heirs of God. He belongs to us. Here's the thought. We have a tendency to state words of ownership. My wife, she would say, my husband. We go into our home, we say, my home. We introduce our child to someone, we'll say, this is my child. Child would introduce the parent to someone and say, this is my mother, this is my father. What about this? What about this? My God. My God. Does that do anything for you? It should. My God. Think about this verse. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Here's what I saw when I read that precious passage of Scripture. You know that in some respects, God is as much my God as He is Christ's God. You see that? In some respects, God is as much my God as when Jesus said, my God. Again now, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Here it is. I ascend to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. My friend, that is so precious that an old Baptist halfway dead ought to wake up on that one. Two little boys one day were talking. And one little boy looked at the other and he said, he asked him a question. He said, are you related to anyone famous? Little boy thought for a moment. He said, I hate to brag, but he said, I heard Dad calling God his Father this morning. My God and your God. We own God tonight in regenerational relationship. We own God tonight. Now I know that that may sound like it's going a little bit too far and getting a little bit too bold, but that's what the Bible says. My God and your God. I'll admit, I've been studying scriptures now for over 40 years, and I'd never quite seen it quite like that before. But then I want to mention finally tonight, we notice something here. We see, let's go to the time about going here. Notice the bonding in the inheritance. We see the basis of the inheritance. We see the breadth of the inheritance. We see the bestowments of the inheritance. Now notice the bonding in inheritance. Joint heirs with Christ. Bonding. Joint heirs with Christ. We have a union tonight with Christ. We're not an heir alone. We're an heir with Christ. Union with Jesus is the only sure way of being in union with God. Union with Christ adds sweetness to our inheritance. We couldn't enjoy it alone. Have you ever gone to a place, gone somewhere, and you didn't want to go, you were reluctant? And then you got to thinking about it. Well, when I get there, so-and-so is going to be there. My friend is going to be there. My family member. Or sometimes we may take a trip, we'll say, someone will say, Let's take a trip together. Let's do something together. And so two people will light out on a trip, and they do it because there's a bond, there's a bonding in their relationship. There's a friendship. Or sometimes people will say, I'm going somewhere reluctantly, but I know that when I get there, my friend's going to be there. So it's a bonding that makes it so more important. And so more significant. Joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. Cannot help but think of the high priestly prayer where Jesus said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You see, the greatness of the inheritance, if we are joint heirs with Christ, that's what makes it great. Then here's another thought tonight. Joint heirs with Christ. That means that my inheritance is secure. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? If our souls would be lost, then Christ would be the greater loser because he bought us with his blood. If we could be lost, Jesus would be the greatest loser. He's the one that paid the price for our redemption, and that would mean that the redemptive price was insufficient. But that will never happen. Joint heirs with Christ. The Father gave us to Him. Well, again now, let the Bible answer this. Look what it says here. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Jesus said, Father, I'm desiring that those that you've given me be with me where I am. Every saved person is a gift. Gift to the Father. A gift. Here's my point tonight, and I'll be through. If we could lose our salvation, the Father would lose the gift. The gift would be wasted. I will that those that thou hast given me be with thee where thou art. I don't believe this evening, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you're going to correct me. I don't believe the Lord will ever have an unanswered prayer to you. If He prays that we're going to be with Him where He is, then you can take that to the bank, and I don't care if it's Wachovia, SunTrust, or whatever. You can take it to any bank. I'm saying tonight, being an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that's a pretty good inheritance. Thank God tonight we can't lose it because Jesus paid too much for our redemption. And if we would lose our salvation, then that gift would be lost as well. So this evening, what's the bottom line? What's the point? Well, Christian, cheer up. That's what I'm telling you. Rejoice this evening that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God tonight you're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the inheritance this side of heaven. You'll really one day enjoy it. I'm talking about big time, when you don't have the impairment of the flesh holding you back, where you don't have the world tormenting you, where you don't have the devil on your heels. You're going to one day really enjoy it. Imagine what it's going to be like when we're not encumbered by this world, this flesh, and the devil, just cut loose and totally enjoy God. That's going to happen, my friend. It's just as sure as you're looking at a little short 5'6" preacher man tonight preaching to you. It's going to happen. We cannot lose what God has invested so much in. That is, if you've been to the cross and you've come in the door legally, you're not an alien. You've come in legally. You've crossed the border of the grace of God. You've come in through the door of salvation. You're a legal person. That's the only way of legality, is through the cross. The way of the cross leads home. And then once you're saved, you're invested with all of these great inheritance advantages and privileges of being a child of God. Like the old degree, the diploma says, with all the rights appertaining thereto. And that's exactly how it is. All the rights of enjoying our citizenship in heaven and the promises pertaining to God's people. If we'd spend more time reading our Bibles and less time perhaps listening to the news, wouldn't we be a lot better off? No wonder a lot of people are so confused about this thing of whether they're saved or not. They're looking at the wrong sources and resources. Right here is the guidebook to heaven, and it'll never fail us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven.